Scripture reading will be from Colossians 1, verses 24 through 28. That's Colossians 1, verses 24 through 28. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ, for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known that what are the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus.
I do have one more announcement that I neglected to mention earlier. The Baby Little and Big Sister is going to have their kickoff luncheon next Sunday, November 10th, after morning worship. So please make a note of that. Now, we're looking forward to the message by Brother Stacy Ferguson. He works with Joey Treat in Palau, Scott and Rebecca Shanahan in Pompeii, and as you saw earlier, about 10 other places. And this is a strategic work. You know, I never heard of Vanuatu until the mission forum about 2 years ago. And here is a great congregation that's been established there. So it's always good to have updates on those things, but now we're going to have a Bible lesson.
It's a blessing to be with you this morning. Psalm 122, verse 1 says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I think about the first day of the week is the best day of the week, because we can be together as brothers and sisters. We can have fellowship one with another. We can be able to worship God. And so there's no better day than this day, the first day of the week. And no better place to be than to be here this morning, being able to worship God. We're thankful to be with you. I like seeing these young people up here close to the front instead of stuck on the back pew. And so glad to see that. I want us to think about this morning the mission of the church, what our mission should be, and I want us to think about, beginning in Luke chapter 15, there are three parables that Jesus gives in Luke chapter 15. This first one about the 100 sheep, the 99, one is lost, and the man goes to seek that which is lost. Now there's lessons that we learn from that, but there's one lesson I want us to think about we learn from these verses. Is every person counts. When we look at the next parable, the lady has the 10 silver coins, and she loses one of those coins. She goes through her house until she finds it and rejoices. And again, one of the points, at least one of the truths, is every person counts. Then we have the story, what we call the prodigal son, as he goes and he wastes his living, and then he comes back to the father. The father rejoices because his son was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found. So we know as Jesus, at least one thing that is taught there in those parables in the scripture is that every person counts. And one of the verses that we read this morning, Colossians chapter 1, verse 28, that will be the text for our lesson this morning. And when I look at this verse and I think about this verse, what Paul said, speaking about Christ, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. And I think of this verse as the every man mentality. It's just the idea that I think of this verse. In that mentality or the mindset that we should have as Christians, like Paul did, in being concerned about every man. In this verse, if you look, the word every man is used, warning every man, teaching every man, to present every man perfect, three times in this one verse. Well, Paul was concerned about every man. All we have to do is look at his life, and we know that he loved all men. In fact, in Romans 1, verse 14, he said, I am a debtor, obligated to Jews and Greeks, to the wise and unwise. He was that debtor, obligated. He had that responsibility to teach them the truth. He cared about men, and he cared about women. The word man in this verse that it is used in the Greek is for mankind, male and female. So it's everyone. Paul, if we look in Acts chapter 16, he was teaching those women that were out by the riverside. Lydia, one of those women. We go to Acts chapter 19, and we have those, about 12 men, it says, at Ephesus that he taught. He was concerned about men and women, all men. Even he said in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, be imitators of me, even as I also am of Christ. So Paul is that great example for us to follow in thinking about every man. Also, we know Jesus is someone that cared about every man. Didn't matter if it was a woman or a man. John chapter 3, Nicodemus comes to him, and he teaches Nicodemus to he must be born again, born of water and the Spirit, if he wants to enter into the kingdom. And we also have Jesus in the next chapter, John chapter 4. Who does he meet there? He meets a Samaritan woman. Not only was she a woman, but she was a Samaritan. And he teaches her, which led to opportunities to teach others that came out of the city of Samaria. So yes, Jesus, Paul, and ourselves, we should be concerned about every man. Have that type of mentality. I want us, as we think about the lesson this morning, just look at 3 points. And I think of this verse this way. Whom we preach, I think of that as the focus of the message. And then that second part, warning and teaching, I think of that as the method of the message. We warn and we teach, and we do that with wisdom. And then the third part I see as to present every man perfect, that's the point. That's what we want to accomplish. So I want us to look at those three things, think about those three things this morning in our lesson as we look at this verse, and we think about having that every man mentality. First of all, that focus is upon Christ, the cross. It isn't in bringing people to Christ. It isn't through gimmicks. It isn't through things, but it is the gospel that is to be that draw to bring people to Christ. Think about Paul when he went to Corinth and he preached in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 2. He says there, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We know from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, he makes that same point. When he went to Corinth, he preached to them, he declared to them the gospel. And that's what would save them if they continued in it. So we are to teach people the gospel. That's what they need. That's what will save them. That's what Paul preached when he went to these places. He preached the gospel. His focus, his message was upon Christ. What Christ did for us on the cross. I think also about James, or about John and Peter in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, when they're having to give an answer for themselves, and they make that statement, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So they know and they see that point. Salvation isn't anywhere else. Their focus was upon Christ and preaching Christ and serving Christ. And that's what they were going to do. Salvation is not through Muhammad. It isn't through Buddha. It isn't through Joseph Smith. It isn't through Ellen G. White. But it is only through Jesus Christ that we can have salvation. He is the one that we must follow. And we know that the Bible is His Word. That's the book that we must follow. Again, that focus upon Him. We know we'll be judged by His words in John 12, verse 48. So we want to be sure that we follow His words. And then I think about also even what Jesus said in John 14, 6. I am the way, only one, the truth, only one, the life. Only way to have life is through Christ. Only way, as He says there, to the Father is through Him. So if we want to have salvation, for other people to have salvation, it must be focused upon preaching and teaching the gospel of Christ. That must be the draw. Even Jesus talked about that in John 6. how God would draw people to Him, and it's through that teaching. So we must teach people the truth. So that must be the focus of our work, what we do. And then we have the methods of the message, that warning and teaching and doing that with wisdom. So we have the warning and the teaching. I think about those two parts, but then I think of two parts that are necessary to accomplish those two things. One of those would be that we need every man teaching. In other words, all of us that are Christians, it's our responsibility to teach those that are lost. I'm supposed to teach those that are lost, not because I'm a missionary or a preacher, but because I'm a Christian. That's our responsibility. So if we all take that responsibility, every one of us teaching, then that can accomplish that goal of teaching every man, what Paul was talking about. And then that's that other part, is we need to be looking. Yes, every man needs to be taught. There are opportunities around us. We'll talk about some of those. But we want to warn them and we want to teach them. That is our responsibility. Warning every man. I think about warning and we think of things that show that there's danger. That we need to beware. Need to be watching. Be alert. We have warning signs around us everywhere that try to protect us physically. Even those seat belts that we have to put on when we get in the car and we're driving and we have those airbags and all these things to try to protect us physically. I remember those long darts. Some of you that are older remember those. Had the long metal tip on the end of them. Throw them up and try to get them to stick in the ground in the circle. But you can't get those metal tip long darts anymore because of the danger of somebody hurting themselves. I don't even know if you can get the metal tipped darts anymore. But anyway, we think about that physical safety and really, and it is important, but we can go overboard on those things and people be more concerned about the physical safety than spiritual safety. I think about in the Pacific, when we were in Vanuatu, this is Little Owen. I think every time we saw him, he either had a butcher knife or he had a machete. And that's just what island kids do. And guess what? They live to be adults. Even though they carry around knives and machetes, they're not so concerned with that physical safety. But again, what needs to be most important is the spiritual safety. Whenever you leave the building at Forest Park, our overseeing congregation, there are two ways as you drive out. And these signs are at those exits. These are warnings for us to be looking, to be alert and watching, because whenever we leave this building or we walk out of the doors of our homes, we're entering a mission field. Because there's people all around us that are lost. And we need to be looking and watching and alert to try to teach those people that are lost. Those spiritual warnings that we need to give them to try to help them. I think about Proverbs 18, verse 10. I love this verse. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and is saved. That's a beautiful truth, a thought. In Christ, in the Lord, there's that safety. It's not outside, but it's only in Him. So if we are warning others, we warn them, yes, that's the place, the only place that you can be saved is in Christ. And help them in those ways. Think also of 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10 and 11. We know very well, yes, we'll appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That's a very sobering thought. We'll have to give an account, be brought into judgment. Those things that we've done, whether they're good or bad, we know that's going to happen. So we need to warn other people and help them to be ready, be prepared for that time. Sometimes we don't think about the next verse, verse 11, where Paul said, therefore, since we're going to stand before God to be judged and have to give an account, therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. That's why he was a debtor. That's why he had that every man mentality. Why he preached the gospel, suffered those things, because he wanted people to know the truth and be ready, be prepared, so that they could have salvation. Also, something else, when I think about a warning, I think of Luke 16, verse 24, about the rich man and Lazarus. They die. And then that rich man, he cries, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. I cannot even imagine the cry, the plea, as he would say those things. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and come and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame.